Welcome to episode number 46, Get Lifted.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you're now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Lee Velez. I'm in the studio with Manny,
you,
Gabe, and special guest, Evan Snydman.
Choo-choo.
Episode 46, Get Lifted. In this episode, we have special guest, personal strength and conditioning coach, Evan Snydman, creator of the Snydman Training System. Nice. We discuss the fitness training business and industry, the benefits of getting a personal coach, why size does matter, advice for parents living vicariously through their kids, competitions, genetics, and the reality of getting massive results. We wrap the episode up with quotes from Kai Green and Jay Cutler. All right, if you're new, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to download and subscribe. We drop a new episode every Tuesday morning for your listening pleasure, and we like to kick things off with a definition from dictionary.com, and I pick the word train. They define it as to get oneself into condition for an athletic performance through exercise, diet, practice, etc.
Not a form of transportation.
And not a form of transportation.
Very good, very good.
All right, so for this week's story, episode 46, Get Lifted, special guest Evan Snydman, we have from bodybuilding.com, titled Embarrassing Gym Stories. So I went through this website and I was just laughing. And honestly, what I picked are like decent, but there's like funnier ones, but you know, we had to make it, you know,
appropriate
for the episode. But I highly advise you look up Embarrassing Gym Stories. It's pretty funny. So the first one goes like this. I ripped one on the Smith machine doing squats when my boyfriend and his friend were standing a few feet away having a conversation. Needless to say, their conversation turned into hysterical laughing. I was so embarrassed that I got teary-eyed. So she ripped one. That is actually kind of funny. And I could see that happening.
Oh, sure. Especially in a squat, like a squat position. You kind of go down and you tense up. Yep. Evan's giving me the yes.
The not. The head.
You've been there. You've been there,
especially,
Evan.
It also depends if you some people take protein or any kind of supplement prior that kind of, some proteins make you gassy depending on, you know, that's true, right, Evan?
Oh yeah.
So
I mean, whey for me, most whey's upset my stomach. So automatically, yeah, if I'm drinking any whey or any kind of dairy before the gym, it's game over.
So that's a relatable story. All right, and the second one goes like this. My friend tried to skull crush with the same weight I was using. On his second rep, he was bringing the bar down real slow, and it just slipped out his hands and hits him on the forehead. Bam! He was out cold. I couldn't stop laughing. The reason why I picked that one was because there's nothing worse than having like a training partner who's like way stronger than you. And it's either annoying or embarrassing. It's annoying because either you have to keep swapping out weights and the plates, and it's too much. It's more work than anything. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying because you feel like the whole time it's this weird competition. But it's a good thing because you get to push each other, right? When you have, it's good if you do have a training partner. My non-professional advice is get someone who's relatively either a little bit stronger or a little bit weaker. Not massively stronger, not massive. Unless it's a personal coach.
So someone in your range.
Yeah, because it's too much. It's more work than anything. It's not fun.
That's funny. I have a story that literally had one of my worst fears come to life because of that. So I'm on the bench next to a guy, and I'm doing not the weight he's doing. So he needed a spotter. He was maxing out. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, just don't ask me. Just don't ask me. Just don't ask me. Hey, bud, you wanna spot me? Sure. You know, I came over. And he had like four plates on each side.
Right.
So I don't know what that weight is off the top, Evan. 45, that's what?
405.
Okay. So immediately I'm already like, I'm nervous because I'm like, oh my God. and he's been pushing himself, right? So I go, I stand there, and I'm thinking to myself, if this guy fails, it's gonna. I'm not spotting anything. So I'm standing on top of him, and he goes down. He goes one. So I think we're done, right? And he's slow coming up, like he's creeping. He's like literally shaking. So I go and put my hand underneath him. I'm like, all right, come on, get it up. And the whole time thinking, come on, God, just pray. Let him get it up. Let him get it up. Because I'm sweating at this point, and I'm shaking. I'm shaking because I'm trying to help him up, right? So he gets it up, you know, fairly easy, locks his elbows out. He goes down for one more. And in my head, I think, oh, no, because he's not going to make it. I literally stand up over him, and my area, if you know what a bench press is, my region is in his face at this point, and he's screaming, and I'm just nervous as hell, shaking, like, come on, get it up, get it up, get it up. He comes up, he literally stops like halfway through, and I said forget it. I damn near deadlifted the thing. I was like, ah, I just pulled the whole thing up, and he's like, oh, he started screaming, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, thank God. Because if he fails, guess what, if he fails as the spotter, yeah, who's the one that everybody's looking at, like, yeah, you let it fall on him. I was doing 135 pounds on bench. You're gonna ask me doing 405? I'm like, one of the worst experiences ever. I was sweating. I couldn't even finish really my workout. I finished, and I was just like, I was dazed and confused. I was like, all right, I gotta go. I was soon after that I left. I was like, oh my God,
that's funny. There's so many stories that happen at the gym. Chooch, aka Evan. If I say Chooch, that's what I call Evan. But anyway. So last time you were on our episode, you talked about how you became a personal strength and conditioning coach. But for the people who did not get to hear that episode and do not know who you are, explain to us who you are and what you do, and, you know, briefly.
Well, my name is Evan Snidman. I live out in Bakersfield, California. I'm a personal trainer and a strength coach at NOS Power, or National Strength. What is it? National Academy of Strength and Power. It's a privately owned gym that's continuously growing right now, starting to get bigger names wanting to come into the gym as far as lifting brands go. Iron Rebel has sparked their interest now in the gym, which is a pretty well-known, nationally known brand for lifting in general. So I've just been doing that it's been literally a year, pretty much a year now. I started last February, so yeah, it's been going pretty well.
And then, so you're coaching, how long have you been coaching altogether from the East Coast and West Coast?
From the East Coast on, 1, 2, 3, about 6 years now.
Yeah. It's been a while. 'Cause I remember one time me and him caught up just to catch up as friends do here and there. And we ordered, hoagies, for the rest of the world, subs from, where did we order them from? Primo's. We ordered them from Primo's Hoagies, and we ordered these big things. We sat on like his living room floor, and like, you would have thought we just got done exercising, but actually I got him in between. It was like I had a day off, but he was in between clients or whatever. And even then, that was like in the beginning stages still, right, of your career, or kind of in the middle? It was like kind of in the middle. I guess it was like he was like year two or something in. And it was interesting seeing he was like already like, one thing is seeing someone involved in the sport themselves, and then the other thing is them seeing being so passionate that they're, you know, making a business out of it or an income off of it by teaching others. Yeah. You've been doing it for a while. So going from was there a major difference aside from losing all your clientele? Obviously, was there a major difference from people though, from East Coast to West Coast? An attitude towards it? Because when me and my wife went to California, and I don't know if this is a specific portion of California that we went into, but there was literally no fast food restaurants like the classic McDonald's or Burger King down there. They had everything was like health driven, which is fantastic. It was just very different. Mm-hmm. So is there attitudes towards working out different, or is it just the same thing?
The attitude is different to an extent. I mean, anyone who comes in wants the personal training, strength coach, etc. You know, they're looking just to get better in general. And a lot of the clients I get personal training wise are looking for the weight loss mainly, along with, you know, gaining strength and all that. The eating portion, they kind of get, but they don't know. They're kind of ignorant to it because they have an understanding, well, if I eat better, but they don't know exactly what better is. They think, oh, I can have my just basic three meals a day and I'll be good with maybe a snack here or there. But in actuality, you have to really eat about 5 to 6 meals a day, true meals, weighed out, portioned and everything, to be able to hit your goals of even weight loss. So they were, most people who come in are in disbelief that they can eat 6 meals a day, be anywhere from 2,000 to under 2,000 calories, feel full, and still maintain losing weight on a continuous weekly basis.
That's fascinating. So you're a coach. Would you consider yourself a coach or a trainer or both? It doesn't
matter. I'd consider myself a coach more or less because I run everyone through the same template. It's just specifically different per individual, per what they can do when they come in.
So you tailor their exercises and the whole regimen to that specific person.
Exactly.
So what would you say, someone's out here listening saying, well, what in the world do I need a coach for? Explain to us the benefits of someone having a coach.
First off, technique. You know, so many people will put the squat in with having bad knees when in actuality it's actually great for your knees when done correctly. The problem is people don't understand how to perform the movement properly and the mechanics that go along with it.
Right. So
you can only watch so many videos, but if you get if you hire someone to coach you through the actual movement to break it down for you bit by bit, it makes a ton more sense and it's able to be learned and achieved a lot faster than watching YouTube video after YouTube video, just people performing a lift and trying to explain it on a video.
Yeah, and I mean, me personally, I would say, I'm sure a lot of people do this. One tip that someone gave me, which I honestly hold dearly, and it's the reason why I work out in the morning, is said work out as soon as you wake up. Obviously, you got to do some stuff in between, but before your mind figures out what the heck is even going on, which I love because that works for me. Everybody's different. But anyway, one of the things is when he said, before your mind figures it out, and plays, you know, tricks on you and basically comes up with excuses.
Yeah, exactly.
So for me, I think a huge benefit of having a coach like Chooch or anybody would be for that, you know, that no BS kind of role where they're not going to come up with excuses for you, right? You're pushing your clients, whereas if it was just, you know, maybe someone who's a little bit or maybe just starting out, they're, you know, we're nicer to ourselves, let's just say, and a little bit weaker on the end, or coming up with excuses to why, oh no, my breakfast must have been too big, so I can't lift that much. Where you have someone who's actually in your face pushing you in a good way, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I try to be blunt but make it fun at the same time for everyone who comes in and, you know, I work with. I don't want to, it's not supposed to, you know, you're going to work. That's what it is. You're coming in to work and get better. But at the same time, it should be something you can enjoy, almost like a stress reliever. As such, you know, you don't have to come and be like, oh, here comes job number two, or, you know, or job number one, you have to go in after, you know, go to your real job after you're done at the gym and everything.
So you're not, your style, you're saying, like, as a coach, you're not necessarily a drill sergeant, but you're hard enough on them to push them, but you're not, you don't want them to be pushed so much where they're over the edge.
Yeah, I'm not going to give in to, oh, I'm tired. Right, pretty much, let them just have an excuse for themselves. But the biggest thing about getting a coach too is the accountability.
Yeah.
You know, you pay for a service and everything, and that's one of the biggest pieces. You know, the first biggest part, hardest part is probably walking in the door.
Yeah.
That's probably number one right there. Walking in the door is really tough for a lot of people. And you'd think, oh, it's no big deal. You're just going to the gym. But you have to actually think about it. You have to actually drive, go there, talk to the person, have a consult, you know, really. And that's the biggest step. Once you get through that step, usually the person's mind's made up. They want to coach. They want to get better. And as they keep going along, now you're holding them accountable for everything they do, everything they eat, everything they lift, etc.
So Evan, when you meet your trainee, do you get a feel for that person up front and say, okay, this is the type of, you know, personality they have? Do you cater to their personality, or you're just Evan and, you know, they chose you or they got you? So how much, you know, how flexible are you in kind of your training tactics when it comes to personalities?
Well, you have to, as anybody trying to help anyone out, you know, any client you get or anything like that, you have to be able to be flexible. You can't be stern and stubborn in your way. You have to be able to bend here and there. So I'm going to be me. to a certain extent, but also I'm going to be able to bend if that person has certain needs that they need to be met and everything like that. You know, maybe it's an older woman or an older man, you know, they don't move as quickly or they have a problem with their hip, knee, et cetera, already coming in. You have to be able to bend and say, okay, let's do this instead of this, you know, not just let's go as low as we can to the ground for a squat, or you're going to pick this 200 pounds up right away. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'm not trying to push someone who's pretty overweight into wanting to quit after the first week and trying to bury them with conditioning right away. You know, you got to be able to bend as each person comes in, but I'm still going to push them nonetheless. I'm still going to be me, and I'm still going to, you know, give them the best opportunity to become better as quickly as possible.
Right.
So, does any excuse stand out as, you know, being one of the best or funny, or that someone has given you as to why they should not give 100% or why they didn't show up?
You know what? I actually have pretty good people I have right now at this moment. I don't really have too many excuses.
Yeah.
Even if I tell them, even if they're sick, I tell them I still expect them to show up unless they're like dying in bed or they have a high fever. Those are pretty much the only two times I expect them that they wouldn't show up.
But, you got to be dying or have 104 degree temperature. That's the only way you get out of it. That's awesome.
And you got to prove it to me by coming in a girl.
There's plenty of times I've been sick myself, and it's just from self-experience. And I said, screw it. I'm just going to go train. I'm going to do what I can do. And I end up coming out feeling better, right, you know, to an extent. Sweat some of the stuff out. I'm tired. I'm hungry.
But when is a grown person not hungry, though? Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you just literally ate. I feel like we're always hungry. That's hysterical.
I've heard blatantly, I don't want to. You know, and I just laugh. All I can do is just laugh. And then I say, okay, let's go. Let's keep moving on.
That's great.
What
I mean, the rapport. Each client, you build a good rapport with them. You know, if you're good at what you do,
yeah,
you build the rapport. It's like any clientele business. You have to understand who they are, where they come from, you know, what kind of work ethic they're going to bring, and how you can help them be better at that work ethic.
So building them up. So before the training, and what we're talking about, this is basically your Snydman training system, right? So you have like a consult with them. They have a consultation with you as a coach. You guys kind of go over, I guess, generally what their goals are, and then you provide them with this program, whether it's weight loss, strength and conditioning, whatever it is. And then do you give them like a time frame, like this is going to be, you know, a 5-month training program, or is this an ongoing thing, or how does that work?
You know what? I never hold it in. I have no contracts. I have nothing like that. It's literally month to month, minimal 2 times a week. I make them. That's the only thing I make them do. It's minimal 2 times a week. So we can at least hit one upper's day, one lower's day.
Gotcha.
I let the training and the nutrition speak for itself when they're doing everything, because I know what I do and what I give them will work. So they're always going to get worked and get the most out of it when they come into the gym. The other half of it is them putting the work outside the gym, pretty much the nutritional aspect of it, you know, prepping all your meals, not eating out every meal, making sure you're ready for the unexpected with your meals. And, you know, just getting little things in, like extra walks and stuff like that. You know, I usually give people about 5 to start them off, you know, walk 5 to 7 miles outside of the gym. You know, a little extracurricular activity. You know, boredom's a big part of why people eat so much too. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm bored. What can I do? Oh, let's go see what's in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Let me work my mouth a little bit.
Yes. So is there something future clients or current clients can do or expect when going through the Snydman training system, or any coach that has like a system? Is there a way they can be prepped for this, or is this something like you basically, if you're going to hire me, the least you can do is show up 2 times a week and follow through with the training?
I mean, I can't speak for other coaches and everything. Everyone has their own system, how they do things, nutrition they give out.
Yeah.
You know, I guess what their background is and everything. But when they come with me, just they can expect to work. The clients I already know, I mean, I have three women who have lost 30 plus pounds in a matter of like a 6-month span. I have one girl who lost 40 plus pounds right now in the matter of like 7-month span.
Wow.
You know, they're only getting stronger. I keep them working, you know, and they'll come back. They always come back because it's a good, great stress relief. Most of them love it because of the stress relief. You know, it's a way to get away.
Yeah.
Even though you're working, it's like their way for that hour and a half they're there just to not have to deal with any stresses of life. Just they're there for themselves and to better themselves only.
So what was do you have like one of your clients that was like your favorite as far as you were so impressed with, you know, with them, the outcome, or that was just flat out just inspirational? Do you have any of those, or just kind of?
I wouldn't say it's a favorite. You know, I try not to say, oh, you're my favorite, because then you start kind of looking at other clients you have and you're like, oh, she's coming in or he's coming in. Oh, I'm not looking forward to this.
Yeah.
But one that stands out is this woman turned 60, had recently lost her mother, had really serious cancer in two different spots.
Wow.
She recovered. She was fully recovered and all, you know, and she was just down, you know, during the consultation, she was crying and everything. And I really felt for her. You know, that's why I was talking about building a rapport with your clientele. You have to know your clients. You can't just let them come in and they're not cattle. You don't bring them in, put them through a routine and just send them on their way back to the farm.
Right.
So she worked her butt off. She's one of them who's lost 30 plus pounds and still is just busting her butt. Loves it. Comes with me twice a week. Comes three other times a week. So I just give her stuff to do when she comes three other times. So she's coming five times.
Wow.
If the shape she was in was ridiculous. She couldn't sit down onto a bench, a regular bench, and get up for one, barely.
Oh wow.
Now she's squatting like 100 pounds on her back to a low box below parallel, you know, and loving it. It's still work. It's hard on her, you know, but she's doing a ton of stuff she couldn't do. She never even imagined she could do. She's loving life. There's a certain glow. Her daughter, I've done online programming with, even said there's a certain glow to her that she just comes and like it radiates off her now that she didn't have for so long, just because, you know, the weight loss, and she was down for so long, but you know, everything turned around for her once she started losing weight and just feeling better automatically about herself.
So, I mean, that's what coaching's all about, right? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really get any better than that. That's, I mean, I know you have to feel like fulfilled to some level with, you know, seeing someone, because that's beyond the physical thing, right? It's when we talk about even success principles and reaching a certain goal, it's not the goal. I mean, Tony Robbins says this all the time. People go after things because it's the goal. Let's say, for example, a house or a specific car is one of your goals. And when you get that house or that car, or you get that degree, it's not the actual goal that you meet necessarily. It's the process and it's the person you become along the way. Absolutely. I'm sure this lady, this client of yours, is more of a mentally strong than she's ever been.
Oh, very much so. She's just always in good spirits now coming in, you know. She used to be so anxious coming in and everything, and now she's just, let's go. She's a go-getter. She's positive. She's ready to work every time she comes in with a big smile.
So do coaches have coaches? I mean, I always find this fascinating, because I know my coaching, or, you know, my training isn't, you know, into the physical sense, but it's the self-motivation stuff. I'm constantly learning from people and constantly learning and improving, you know, my style and my knowledge base. Is that something, do trainers have trainers in the fitness world?
Yeah, to an extent. It's not so much trainers have trainer, more coaches. Coaches, you'll have coaches and everything. You know, like the saying, iron sharpens iron, you know, coaches sharpen coaches. There's plenty of coaches out there with tons more experience than I have that I try learning, reading from, watching videos on. There's a summit at the end of February I'm going to for strength coaches. You know, there's going to be some great speakers there. There's both the San Francisco 49ers and New York Jets strength coaches will be there. There's going to be some doctors with, you know, nutritional backgrounds. Some, I think, physical therapists too are going to be there. So I'm really excited about going to that. You know, just learning more, understanding more. You know, you never can learn too much.
I love that. Too much. I absolutely love that, because that goes across the board. Again, we're talking about success principles. No matter what industry you're in, here you go. You have a fitness coach basically doing the same thing that I do. I go to seminars and whatever you call it, all kinds of stuff, webinars, seminars, whatever you want to go to, different levels of training is what I really want to say. But and it doesn't matter. There, even if you're in a car industry and you're a car club, they have car meets. Mm. They have all kinds of stuff. swap meets where you can buy more parts for your cars and to improve them, and you're constantly having these conversations or whatever it is for the personal development industry. You have these webinars where you're meeting up with experts of the industry who are sharing their knowledge. Even in the IT world, they have like these huge summits, right?
Yeah.
That they all show off what's new, what's
new,
the
new
upcoming
gadgets, new ways of doing the things. Absolutely, yeah. You sharing the knowledge, essentially, what it's spreading the wealth around.
Exactly. So then you have Chooch, who's a physical trainer, a strength and conditioning coach that is going to the same things for his industry. So when they say success principles are the same across the board, that's a perfect example.
100%.
Yeah. So.
I have a question for Evan, if I could. Chooch, in your experience, now you're building your brand, right? You're now a coach or a trainer. How much of your own outward image do you take into consideration? I only ask that question because there's a trainer at the gym I go to who's not the most physically fit looking guy. Kind of at first glance, you're like, oh man, I hope he's not my trainer. How much of that do you take into account when you're meeting and greeting with these people and just in kind of how you carry yourself in the gym in general?
As far as meeting other coaches?
No. Just to your clientele. Just to your clientele in general. How much of your, you know, how much of your outward appearance are you concerned with? Or is it just, you know?
From a physical standpoint, I kind of know. So in my sport, you're in the sport of powerlifting or, you know, strength and conditioning, you're not always going to have the most, they're not going to be the fittest, but they have to know, you kind of get a feel from what you're hearing, what if they know what they're talking about, mm-hmm. or they've been able to BS their way to the top or further along than you have so far. It's more of been they've known people to be able to get in the spots they're in now.
Right.
I mean, I have weeks where I probably look pretty big, or look like I have like a stomach growing because, you know, because you're eating. So it all depends too, I guess, the time of day when you see people. Because I'm eating all day, so I'm going to look different from the morning time to when I'm with nighttime clients and everything. So I know I'm going to walk around, my stomach's going to be sticking, my abdomen's going to be sticking out and everything just because I've been eating. I've been putting in meals all day. I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. It's kind of you do your homework when you're going to go meet with other coaches, nutritionists, et cetera. You kind of understand what their background is, what they do, what's their life outside of what they do, like that. Just take it with a grain of salt, primarily. You know, kind of know what their background is.
But I'm with that's a tough one because I'm with you on that, because if someone was my strength coach, right, and they're, you know, they're 95 pounds soaking wet.
So that's what I was going to say. Yeah. With that being said, you got to know their background though, because if they're your strength coach, but they're a little guy, you're going to know. I mean, even if they're littler, you're going to know who this individual is. You should have done your homework. So that's shame on you if you're getting some little runt that's can't even lift his own body weight.
So I guess it depends, you know, on the type of training you want.
100% soaking wet, and you come in and you go to shake his hand and he falls over.
Yeah. So I guess it depends on the type of training you're looking for, that you understand what the parents would look like.
Exactly. So if you're looking, I mean, say it's like Zeke for Men or something like that, and this guy looks lean, super lean, you've heard of him, you kind of did your homework, that's kind of, you know, and you're like, oh, he's coached other people to winning, I guess, different shows they've gone to. Mm. So then, like, that would be your guy. You know, I wouldn't go, if I was looking for a strength coach, I wouldn't look for that same guy. Yep. I mean, and, you know, even if he's trying to promote that, even if he's like, I know I do physique and I do strength coaching. Mm. It's like, well, what have you done for the strength game? Oh, you know, stuff. You know, I lift the weight.
So I guess I'm like in between with both, because it's true. You got to take it with a grain of salt. But at the same time, if my brother's a barber and he has just like absolute awful hair, right? And it's just all knotted, yeah. And it just doesn't look like he grooms himself very well. That's like a selling point. This is hard because it's your physical body. So, I mean, people are just going to judge right off the bat. Like, does this guy look like he has some form of muscle tone to him or size, depending on what kind of coach you're looking for. Even in the professional, like the corporate area, where are they dressed for the role? right? Yeah. So you have somebody might come in with a like a polo and some khakis who's giving a $1 million presentation and trying to get like a Shark Tank deal versus, you know, someone who's more presentable in a suit, shirt and tie and ready to rock and roll and presents, you know, the same level of, you know, whatever it is, product or service. And it's just that first impression is everything. Mm-hmm. No matter how much we want to say it's not, maybe afterwards it doesn't matter. But the initial, I guess, like, for example, Evan's doing the first consultation, that's everything. Mm-hmm. How Evan's energy, you know, going to the client, right? How he's talking to them, how he's presenting himself, what he's wearing. On the other end, if Evan's going there, he has like a shirt and tie, it's like, well, this is also weird. This is not for this. But yeah, I do. People are smart, though. I feel like people eventually pick up. You can only scam someone, I feel like, so far until them or someone else is going to realize, like, maybe you should pick another coach. Right, so what, Ev, why strength and, you know, why be a strength coach and what drives you to become stronger and stronger, or at least strive for that?
I just think strength is at the base of any goal that you want to accomplish, whether it's weight loss, gain, look better, feel better, function better. You know, just imagine the 65 to 70 year old woman who has a hard time getting in and out of her car. You know, something simple as strengthening her legs up, her hips up, by doing air, you know, squats to a box will make her life that much easier. You know, it's something that's basically that. The guy who wants to compete in powerlifting, well, you know, you gotta get him stronger. He has to, you know, build up. So those are just some examples. You know, anyone who wants to lose weight, the more lean muscle you carry, the more calories you burn at rest. So if you're burning more at rest, you're gonna burn even more when you're active.
Yeah. So going with that, so the strength is across the board is needed for whatever your goals are overall. How important is someone's inside game when they're, you know, approaching a new, you know, physical regimen, whatever it is, like their mentality going into it. Yeah.
Mentally, I think they just have to be open and ready to work for the most part. Listen to what your coach says. You hired this coach. You hopefully did your homework. You know, you've most likely it's by word of mouth, because that's usually how most of them get out and get around. So when they're coming in, you just have to be ready to work, do what they say, trust in them, and trust what they're telling you to do inside and outside of the gym. Trust the process.
So does size matter, and why?
Size necessarily doesn't matter. You know, size can be put on. Sometimes people don't want to be bigger either when they get stronger, you know, more towards the guys.
Yeah.
You know, they want to try to get stronger, stay the same body weight, maybe put some muscle on, but decrease body fat. So you lose a pound of fat, you gain a pound of muscle, you're going to stay the same exact weight. It really doesn't matter. I mean, if you're going to get stronger and you want to continue to get stronger, you do need to get bigger. With getting bigger comes body fat. But with that said, you also can get bigger, put body fat on, put muscle on, and then lean out, and then continue the process, you know, full circle again. Put more size on, more muscle, more fat, cut the fat, start over again.
Not to cut you off, Evan, how concerned are you as a coach with the scale? You know, what do you tell your clients when people are so enamored with, oh my God, I lost a pound, or I lost this? Are you more focused on how do you feel, how do you look, how do your clothes fit? Or, you know, go ahead.
Depends where the person's at. So if you have a leaner woman who has a little bit more, you know, you can tell in her thighs and her stomach, she has carries a little bit more, but overall is just leaner built already. She's not very big to begin with. Mm-hmm. Then the scale's going to be okay in the beginning for, you know, a few pounds as you go along. But then it's going to be more about the inches. How are your clothes fitting? Are you moving down a size compared to the woman who's coming in and obviously has a more of a big problem overall with her weight, and you can just tell right off the bat, and that's why she's coming in, you know, to talk to you. You still, you know, inquire, hey, what's your goals? What are you looking to do? But you know, in the back of your mind, weight loss is number one. Mm-hmm. You know, just get healthier along the way. So the scale is going to be more important for the women, obviously heavier set coming in. But if the leaner you are coming in, it's not going to be about the the scale. And even so, going even with the bigger women, you know, you work to get them stronger too. So they're going to cut off inches, even if the scale doesn't move, say for 2 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. But they've gained like minus 3 inches off their waist. You know, that's a huge plus. And that's what you have to keep reminding them, that it's not all scale, especially for women. Women's huge because they'll cut size in their legs, arms, waist, et cetera, real fast, not even realize it, even though the scale hasn't moved much, whether it be half a pound, 3 pounds, or 0 pounds.
All right. So interesting stuff. So just to change, switch gears here. I follow you on social media. Obviously, you're a good friend of mine. And I see you, you know, getting ready for competitions and all kinds of stuff. What can you say about competitions? Why do you do them? And kind of what's your mindset going in?
I love competitions. I love them because I've always been competitive. I played football in high school, college. And afterwards, I just was looking for something just to stay competitive in, you know? It was kind of hard going from, you know, you always work towards that fall season and then after football, there was nothing.
Yeah.
You know, work and everything, but still not, that's not competitive.
Right.
So I found powerlifting, and it's even better to an extent because it's just you and the weight. It's one-on-one versus you. It's either you're going to get it or you're not going to get it. And there's kind of like an adrenaline rush every time you're on the platform. And I even get pumped up for, you know, clientele that I take to different competitions and everything, because it's really exciting to see them progress and their eyes light up and them get pumped up, you know, just to hit one lift, you know, yeah. One significant to them. It's just them in the bar, and it gets really intense, and it's really awesome.
So what's your mindset the day of a competition, like as you're in the midst and then, you know, they announce your name or however it goes, you know, it's your turn. What's going through your head?
Beginning of the day, I'm pretty calm. I usually start the day, me and the wife will go, we'll just go out to breakfast, grab some pancakes and stuff. And I'm just calm, relaxed and everything. And I really won't turn it on till we start warming up and everything. I throw the headphones in. And then when I'm about to go, it's kind of like you zone out, almost like you put blinders on like a horse.
Yeah.
And it's just you and kind of, you phase all noises, all sounds out. And you kind of just, you wait for the commands to squat and then to rack the weight when it's squat. And, you know, you bury it, you come up, you see that you got 3 white lights, even though you look for 3 white lights, you need 2 out of 3. And after that, you know, it's going back to the seat and trying to relax and calm down, bring your nerves down to settle a little bit, because you don't want to stay hyped up or you don't want to stay amped up continuously the whole time. But it's like, you know, regathering yourself and then getting yourself up again for the next lift to come within, like, 8 minutes or so, not even.
So, I have you know, family members who compete in powerlifting, but in high school. What do you say to the dad or the parent that's kind of living vicariously through their kid? Or is just almost they're more involved than the kid is involved? What do you see that happening, or, you know, what's your perspective on that?
When I used to coach football, I saw it more. I would see it more. Not so much with the strength training now.
Yeah.
Or any power or any competitions. But it's not so wrong for the dad to live vicariously through the kid, but it's when he gets more emotionally involved that then it becomes a problem and he becomes more into it and starts kind of pushing the kid into doing more and more, even if the heart of the child isn't into it. You know, it's a different scenario if the kid's completely into it. He's as amped as his dad. You know, it's almost a father-son bonding experience. Or, you know, mother-daughter, whatever what may have you, or father-daughter. But if the dad, if you see the dad's amped up and he's getting in the ear of the kid, and the kid's sitting there and he's like, and he's just kind of like picking his nose, or he's about to cry or something, there's a little bit of a problem there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's cool. I could appreciate on any level, any parent being involved in their child's life.
Right.
I just, sometimes I do see, you do see, every once in a while you see the one person just getting, they might be a little carried away with it, but at the same time, like, you got to love that they are involved in their kid's, you know, life or, you know, whatever it is. And they just like, want the best. I think Uncle ultimately Rico. They want the best for their kid, but, you know.
Uncle Rico being able to throw a football over a mountain a mile away.
Exactly. So moving right along. What is there to be said about genetics? I just, I fail to understand. I her trainers themselves say that genetics do not play a part in physical appearance. And that is blasphemy, if you ask me. Not saying I'm not saying that it's all true or all
It's already been proven through multiple scientific theories, experiment, everything, the whole nine. It's already proven that genetics play a role. Now, okay, so let's just say back in the day, we'll just take Arnold Schwarzenegger, specimen, awesome, Greek god, etc. He breeds with whoever the top female was at the time, you know, taller, strong, looked amazing, and they breed one of the best kids ever. So he comes in, by 10, he just looks awesome. You know, he's active and everything, but he doesn't put the work in. Now you go older, you know, you have someone else that comes in, some Joe Schmo, basic kid, whatever, mom and dad, nothing too ridiculous about them. He comes in, but he keeps putting the work in every year. He keeps working harder and harder. He puts more work in than Arnold's son does.
Right.
Okay. So now that kid is eventually going to surpass Arnold's son because Arnold's son is only simply riding his genes of strength and, you know, whatever his parents gave him pretty much.
Yeah.
So hard work, the whole point of this is hard work will trump genetics if the genetics isn't willing to put the work in.
So there's no, you should never have that kind of, there's no wall there. You can break through that glass ceiling or wall that's in front of you as far as genetic is concerned.
That's not going to be the truth 100% of the time. You know, right. You might have, you know, but a lot of times genetics does play a role. I mean, you look at the sport. Let's just go to football because it's most easily compatible with genetics. You know, you have these kids that are coming out of high school bigger and bigger. You have offensive linemen that are coming out 6'7", 325 pounds.
Yeah, right.
You know, these are grown men that are still children coming out of high school, you know, 17 years old, 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's genetics for you. You know, there's nothing that they could have done, you know, hard work wise to make them. So weight wise, yeah, they could affect it. But with that kind of size, not like they're fat coming out of high school, you know, right. They're just bigger kids for work. That's it.
Yeah. There's a book written by John Maxwell and the title of the book is Talent Is Never Enough. There's it kind of goes along the lines of what you're saying that we all had the kid in high school who was always athletic and the talent was through the roof. And we all know really never practiced or sharpened his skills and or his ability. And by the time we got to high school, we were either at the same level or some people were even better who genetically didn't have it as much as he did or she did, but ended up getting scholarships to colleges and this person didn't, right? And then you kind of see, do you ever see that? Does that ever frustrate you, Evan, where you see like someone who physically would be like a monsoon? You're like, obviously, I know people have like their own, you know, road to life or whatever. Not everyone's, you know, made for that. But
yeah. There
has to be like people that pass by, you know, they don't lift an ounce of weight. And they're just like, oh, Lord, if they were in the gym for, you know, six months, they would be monsoons.
You know, it's funny. I just recently started working with someone like that. He lifted some weights, played some high school football, but he works on his – he's agriculture. So he's always been a farm – you know, working on the farm. It just looks like he's farm bred and everything. The kid's super thick. He's a big kid. He's like 260 pounds, you know, probably like 6 foot. And he's just strong. He's just naturally strong.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't – and not that he ever hasn't wanted to put the work in, but he just hasn't, I guess, had the guidance or the want to lift weights. Necessarily,
right.
Not that his work ethic isn't there because he's a farmer. So having to be a farmer, your work ethic, you have no choice but to have work ethic. So, I mean, working with him, he's a workhorse too in the gym and he's just getting stronger and stronger real quick. And it's kind of awesome to see.
Yeah.
Just this farm bred. He's a farm, like, you know, you think corn fed farm boy. Pretty much.
So what do you say? What do you say to someone who doesn't necessarily have the best genetics? You know, words of encouragement, we kind of touched upon it. For people like myself, for example, I have very, very, very skinny legs genetically. And it's probably the most thing I work out is my legs just because of it. What can you say about the process with or without good genetics? You know, the process of getting to hitting your goals and getting maybe the size that you want. Because when you do have, I guess for people who do have, and this goes beyond genetics, when we're talking about weight training, some people just get it even when they hit the books. Like we've gone to Temple University and we've sat in classes where a lecture is said once and a kid retains it completely and doesn't have to study for the exams while we're in the libraries kicking, you know, books down and you know, not eating for days on end, just studying our tails off, and the kid even scores better than us on this, you know, on a test. So what do you say to somebody who probably has to work harder for the results, but it being worth it, I guess?
I mean, not putting it to any one subject, just work hard. Just put the work in continuously. Don't get frustrated. Don't let, you know, frustration's going to want to set in and everything if you don't see the results, you know, after a couple months or even after a year or two. You know, you got to put the work in. And when you feel like you've put the work in and now you're starting to stall out, that's the time you can get a coach, no matter what it is. It doesn't have to be the gym necessarily. You know, it can be an overall life coach. It can help you guide you to the way you want to go. You know, it'll be some kind of motivational coach. You know, it doesn't matter. You just got to put the work in, though, when it comes down to it. And when you feel you put enough work in, put more work in, because that's all it's going to be. It's going to be more work.
Evan, from your professional opinion, from doing it for 6 years, what's for the average person, at what point should they start to expect results or start to see or feel? Because a lot of people, you know, we're instant gratification. After 2 weeks, they want to feel like, oh, I should be in a size 32, you know, after being in a 40 for 5 years. Like, no, that's not how it works. You know, what's a good barometer for somebody to be like, okay, I should really start to see or feel some results? At what point? 3 months, 6 months?
I say give it a month. If you're going from zero being nothing to like 100 miles per hour being, you know, just something basic a couple times a week, you're going to see results in a month easily. And that's if you put the work in. That's not just going to the gym and doing a little something, chatting for a while. You know, that's someone who's just going to putting some work in. But it could even happen in 2 weeks. You could see a difference, even if it's a small divot somewhere. Maybe it's a little something different in your shoulders look better, or your arms look better, your legs look better, etc. Go down the list. It's just a matter of how hard you put the work in and how far you're willing to go with it. So it doesn't take long at all. It's just how hard do you want to go and how hard do you want to work.
Awesome. So in wrapping this episode up, Get Lifted, with our special guest, personal strength and conditioning coach Evan Snydman, where do you see yourself in 5 years, or where would you like to be in 5 years when it comes to you know, you being a strength and conditioning coach and the Snydman training system?
I'd like to be pretty well known on the West Coast in 5 years. That would be fantastic and awesome, especially in such a industry that's kind of getting flooded by a lot of one-hit wonders or people who do a competition or some kind of competition and then call themselves some kind of fitness coach or strength coach, you know, without any kind of resume experience. You can have all the certificates you want, but if you don't put them to work and you don't have anything to show for them as far as working with people, individuals, and having any results from them, then what kind of coach are you? You're just someone who has pieces of paper to show, and that means really nothing.
Yeah. And of course, maybe some sponsorship.
Yeah, sponsorship would be nice.
That would be nice. I know sups can get expensive and food can get expensive. That'd be nice. All right, so actually, you know what? I have one more question. Do you have a someone that you look up to? I know you had said Arnold Schwarzenegger. I highly doubt that's who it is, but someone who's in the, you know, maybe bodybuilding industry or the strength, powerlifting industry. Is there someone you're like, dude, I want to be like, maybe, you know, someone who was in the Olympics or something?
Not necessarily. I look towards older powerlifters and how they were built. They were built like, they were just built ridiculously strong. You know, for a while their powerlifters were put on their way to look like they're just these huge fat guys who lift lots of weight, you know, and they didn't no physique or anything like that. But now they're starting to come out and look a lot leaner, look like almost they could be a bodybuilder if they just, you know, cut a few pounds and could be stage ready, or show ready within a couple of weeks. Just the older, like Eddie Cohn's a big one. You know, he had some ridiculous lifts back in his day. And at such a, you know, 198 and 220 in the 220s. And these are like unheard of. I think he pulled out, what was it, 900 pounds he pulled, I believe, in the 220s, wild. I want to say.
That is wild. He was an ant, man.
Yeah, he was just ridiculous. Smoke.
What that reminds me of, I remember one of my favorite shows to watch growing up was the World's Strongest Man. These guys were like, holy smokes, they were huge. But they're not what you're saying, like nowadays they are. They're like all ripped up and stuff. Man, these guys are enormous. Not only that, they're like 6'4". That's what always blew my mind, right?
They were huge.
These dudes are picking up these huge boulders. I know it's not nothing what you do, Chooch, but I just thought of that when you said that the older look, you could just tell like under those shirts was just straight muscle, but it was also thicker.
Bill Kazmaier, or also known as Kaz. Like if you looked him up, you may have seen him before, whatever.
He has abs, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was.
You could like see his abs through his t-shirt.
He was World's Strongest Man in 80, 81, and 82.
Yeah.
Like, and he was just built, you know, in college, he was benching 600 pounds at powerlifting competitions. He did it all. It was crazy. Yeah. But these guys were just built as specimens. They weren't built sloppy. They were thicker, but they weren't, like, anything sloppy whatsoever. Or, like, just, you know, disgusting.
Yeah, they're you could just tell they had definitely had shape to them. And you're right, dude. Like, they could have changed their profession in, you know, in 6 months and could have been, you know, something totally different, which is fantastic. So, all right, so let's wrap this up, with two quotes, one by, Kai Greene and the other is by Jay Cutler. So the first one, Kai Greene: nothing comes easy, but as long as you're breathing, you're always one breath away from making your dreams a reality. Make every breath count. All right. And the last one from Jay Cutler: without self-discipline, success is impossible, period. So, fantastic quotes. Chooch, creator of Snydman Training System, how can people get in touch with you? Where can they follow you? What are your social media handles, etc.?
They can find me on Instagram at Evan Snydman. And on there, there's a contact. They have the contact button now. You can hit me up either email, DM. Actually, I put my number on there too for text messages or such to be able to get a hold of me. And you can even find me on Facebook. At Evan Snydman as well. It's EvanSnydman.
All right, awesome. Chooch, thanks for joining us. We had a good time.
Yeah, man, appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Episode 46, Get Lifted. We had special guest, personal strength and conditioning coach, Evan Snydman, creator of the Snydman Training System. We discuss fitness and the training business industry, benefits of getting a personal coach, why size does or does it matter? Advice for parents living vicariously through their kids, competitions, genetics, and the reality of getting massive results. We wrap the episode up with quotes from Kai Greene and Jay Cutler. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, don't forget to visit the website, JimmyLeeVelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@JimmyLeeVelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.